Welcome to It's a Code World, your digital marketing podcast. This podcast will give you practical insights on how to be the Renaissance man or woman in digital marketing and become indispensable for your organization.
Hello, this is Tim Brown, and this is our fourth episode of It's a Code World. And my guest today is Jake. Jake, if you want to introduce yourself.
Sure. Thanks, Tim. My name is Jake Putzer. I am in business development for a marketing agency here in Minneapolis.
And we are going to be talking to about how to pitch anything and build rapport with clients today. We'll be talking sales and getting more leads.
Yeah.
And really developing relationships with people, I think, which is a lot of what sales is about.
Yep, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
You don't even like calling it sales.
I think the word sales has an extremely negative connotation.
Okay.
When people think of sales, they think of like the worst person on earth.
Okay.
So.
And you would not fall into that.
I'd like to think that I don't, but maybe I do.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about something besides business development.
Sure.
Right away. So we just saw the release of a product. Was it yesterday? The iPhone 6S?
Yeah. Yep.
So do you know anything about what's new on that?
You know, I did a little bit of reading. I watched like maybe 30 seconds of the live event. And I just think it's so funny that all these news outlets, Mashable and all these different news outlets will essentially, they'll kind of come down on Apple for not being innovative.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, it doesn't really matter because everybody's going to go buy the iPhone.
Yeah.
Right? If it's this iteration or the next iteration, mm-hmm. people are going to buy it. I just don't think, you know, Apple obviously has some harsh critics because everybody kind of looks at them through a magnifying glass.
Well, it's that any press is good press kind of situation anyways, because Mashable talking about your product release. Like, what else, what other companies does Mashable every single time talk about their product release? I mean, maybe, you know, a Google thing here and there or, you know, but they're definitely not talking about every single release for every single company out there. So just in and of itself that they make it a big event is essentially a huge success on their part. Other than the iPhone 5S, though, I did see the new iteration of Apple TV coming out, which I am actually excited about.
Yeah.
Apple TV is like essentially just an interface to watch, you know, Netflix and Hulu. And, you know, if you want to buy something off the iTunes store on your TV, it's, you know, not built in. You can have it separately. You can update it a lot more than maybe like you would on a television.
Yep. I'm a huge fan of Apple TV. I love the Apple TV, so I'm excited about that.
The thing that I saw in there that seems cool is the universal search for all mm-hmm. of the interfaces or all of the things like Hulu, Netflix, iTunes, Amazon. Essentially, so now you can just on your TV search for an episode and it'll give you all the options or a movie for all the options for the ways to watch that. I think I'm pretty stoked about that.
That will save my thumbs a lot of energy.
Yeah, actually, that's the worst part about the Apple TV is the, like, I have one button.
It is.
It's exactly. Like always Apple's, like, strong suit of, like, keeping things simple. And you only, you know, essentially being able to stuff all these different options into something, but with no touch screen, like, that kind of doesn't work on a remote.
Right.
So I don't know if they need to rethink that or what, but yeah, they also have motion sensing now in the new remote.
Oh, that's cool.
So that seems cool. Like you could use it for games if they decided to try to throw some games on there, open it up for people to develop games for it.
Nice.
Which is interesting. So we have some tools to share with you.
Bangers. Some quick tools and resources to whet your appetite.
So four tools to help you right now with pitching anything and building rapport with clients. The first one I want to share as a freelancer is called BidSketch, which allows me to quickly template out proposals slash work orders or whatever you call them to get out to clients with my hours on there. Essentially, it gives you a base template for how something might look for like a web design project or what have you. And then you can change it up. You can drop in your own kind of formatting as necessary that's different from theirs. And then you can also put the client's name as it kind of like dropped in there so that when you start a new client, it'll just swap out the names automatically. And I like that. And it essentially just allows me to really quickly draft up somebody a proposal. Yep. So I can do a little less kind of upfront, like, are you the right fit for me? Like, do I need to make sure everything about you is the right fit before I give them a proposal?
Right.
You know what I mean? I want to be able to give them one fairly quick, and then they can just decide, is this guy,
right?
Is this the right budget for me? Is this, you know, too big, too small, whatever.
Yeah, that's I've used tools similar to that, and they're fantastic. They make that acceptance process so much smoother, and you're really lowering the barriers to getting a signed agreement. Mm-hmm. One that I like to use is DocuSign. It does the trick. I wouldn't say it's completely foolproof, mm-hmm. But it's a good tool for just getting signatures on documents, work orders, service agreements, things like that, where you just need an electronic signature. It's better than having somebody print it off, sign it, scan it, email it back to you. There's a lot of steps involved with that. So whatever we can do to lower that time that it takes for people to accept it, the better. The other one that I want to bring up is a CRM. I've used a number of them myself. I've used Zoho. I've used Sugar CRM.
And what is this? What does CRM stand for again?
Good question. So CRM is Customer or Client Relationship Manager.
And you, like, what are the key tasks that like you would die if you didn't have your CRM for?
That's a great question. Really what it allows you to do is keep up-to-date information on whoever's in your database. So, you know, we kind of look at the database as, you know, that's where it's kind of your little pot of gold, so to speak, where you should be able to tap into it. You should have all the information about those clients or those prospects or leads that you may be cultivating.
And different ones of these have kind of a edge on the competitor CRM. Like this one does this better.
Yeah.
That one does that better. What is one that kind of stands out to you as having, you know, some of those functions that you like the best?
That's a great question. And really, it kind of goes back to your initial statement that all of them are going to do something a little bit differently. Zoho is really great for, it's open source, so people can go in and customize it. It's free. And it integrates with a lot of different other systems and tools. It can be a little bit clunky at times, but it's really robust. Sugar CRM is really great for in a kind of a middle range option for some automation and some workflow things that you can set up that kind of automate your sales process. And right now I'm currently using Affinity Live, which is great for integrating with different project management systems. So there's really one tool and one system where it will store all client information, which is really great.
And then once you get the project, then you can track all the time against it.
Yep. And so it's really from initial contact through project completion, you see all the information is tracked. So that's a really great one too.
Okay. Sidekick?
Yeah. So kind of my bonus one is called Sidekick, and it's a HubSpot product that you can install as a, I think they're called apps, or I don't even know what they're called anymore on if you're using Chrome, but you can install it in your Chrome browser. And what it allows you to do is when you send an email through Gmail, it will allow you to track if somebody opens that email. I find the tool extremely effective when I'm sending a proposal or sending a follow-up. I can see if somebody opened it. I've had instances where I've sent a proposal, and as soon as I see that they opened it, I'll immediately jump on the phone and say, hey, did you get a chance to review it? and inevitably they're reviewing it at that very moment. So I kind of catch them at a good time.
So if you have any questions, I can help you with that right now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You don't say, hey, I saw you open my email.
Right, right. No, no,
because they'd just be confused. Yeah, but
it can be a little bit, I don't know. Maybe a little bit creepy, but for lack of a better word.
Yeah, some of the best tools on that help you can become. I have another tool that I love that is kind of creepy, but is super awesome, which is Inspectlet.
Oh, yeah.
And it allows me to just see who's on my website. And I can kind of, I can actually watch them fill out the contact form. And I can see what other pages they went to and like how long they spent on them. Like, for instance, if they went to a case study and read about that client of mine, then I can kind of reference that. And after talking with them, and I saw that they filled out the contact form and like watched them put in their email, because you literally are watching the people on your site.
Yeah.
And it's also kind of creepy, but very interesting.
There's another tool that I've been looking into recently. It's called SharpSpring.
Yeah.
That essentially will take a CRM with that same technology and integrate the two together.
Oh, wow.
So as soon as you can identify that person's IP address and their location and their name and everything, it will put all their website visits in there.
Yeah.
And how many times they filled the contact form, how many times they clicked on the about page, all those things, which is ultimately creepy, but great data to have when you're going through the sales process.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, it could be creepy, but at the same time, it's also just super useful. And if you're not like ill-willed about it, then it's just helps you be more effective.
Right. Exactly.
Tailor your kind of pitch to them and talking to them about the things that they're interested in.
Exactly.
And here's why you should listen to Jake. First of all, I'm just going to mention, I've worked with Jake and I think of him as a person that I can learn a lot from as far as how he goes about working with clients and focusing on, that client and not necessarily just about making a sale. And I guess I'll kind of hand it off to you, but what's one success in the sales realm that you've been a part of recently?
That's a good question. I'm going to answer it in a way that it's more of a global answer, in that I've begun to change the way that we're closing business, I guess. I don't want to say closing the sale, because that just sounds, it doesn't match up with what I'm going to say, but it's winning business based on a relationship rather than just deliverables and just cost. It's winning it because that client trusts you. And since I've made that shift, there's the expectations moving along through the execution process are a lot cleaner and a lot smoother, I think.
And also, and we both read a book that I very much like. You kind of suggested it to me, which was How to Pitch Anything.
Yep.
And first of all, if you haven't read that book, I highly suggest it. It's very good. How to Pitch Anything. And I'll include that in the show notes at timbdesign.com/podcast-4. But this book talks about how when you're positioning it, the conversation around a relationship versus just positioning it around a particular business or a number, really shifting that perspective from this is a price and a set of items that we're going to have to give to this client to, is this really the right fit? Culturally, do I match up with this client, or do we match up with this client? And are we going to be able to meet their expectations? And is this essentially just all those questions that you'd ask from a relationship standpoint as to not get, it helps not get yourself in positions where you're going to, not meet expectations for a client. And also, even if there's a place where you might not be living up to it in every way possible, that if the relationship's good, that you can get back on track there and you can improve. And thus, you, from the outset, you're positioning it around something that, from my perspective, is a lot more effective in closing sales Mm-hmm. Sorry for saying the word sales, but business development stuff, a lot more effective because the people that are just focused on those numbers or the price or the deliverables or whatever, aren't really tapping into human relationships in the way that most people are thinking about it. They're right. thinking, am I going to get annoyed by this group of people? Am I going to be able to impress my boss? Is this going to, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This person, this thought process that's going through their head is likely much more positioned around relationships than around just simply numbers. The number, hopefully it's close.
Yeah.
And hopefully you can work together to get it where it needs to be to make sure that you can do the best stuff.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And it actually makes me think of an example recently where one of the biggest clients that that we won last probably in the last 12 months actually, when I asked them why did you choose us as an agency, they specifically said that it was because we seemed like a fun group to work with. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the price, it wasn't the scope. We portrayed ourselves as experts for sure, because that's still wildly important that you need to be an expert in your field. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't about what I think most people go into those presentations thinking it's our process is going to win, our price is going to win, our deliverables are better. And in reality, I would say 9 times out of 10, those things usually don't mean a whole lot. And if they do to that client, it's maybe not the best fit, right? So I think for me, you know, throughout my career, it's been learning when to identify those clients that are potential hazards, essentially. And Tim's called me out on a few of them that
well,
I had blinders on and was in it for the wrong reasons, and Tim warned me, and I had egg on my face at the end of the day.
Hey, it happens. And if you're not failing, you're not trying. And so I think with clients that might blow up in your face or whatever, it tends to be spots where we didn't really examine how we were going to be affected by that relationship. We have to kind of work on getting better on recognizing where we know we're going to wow these people, because this we're selling our strengths, you know, and that's everybody's learning curve to get over. To me, this is probably one of the biggest questions that I'm about to ask that I'm excited about having you on today and talking about. And this one is important for not only people in digital marketing, which this podcast is intended for, but it's really a broader interest for anybody who's trying to be effective with a service-based industry and a lot of industries, really. Those who don't have the luxury of a steady stream of leads coming in through their website, if you only had 10 hours a week to dedicate to drumming up leads, what would you spend that time on?
That's a good question. And, the answer is pretty simple. It's not necessarily easy, but it's a simple answer. And that's, you got to connect with people. You have to meet people. You have to start building relationships. And in reality, if you could spend 1 hour a day reaching out to people on LinkedIn or email or phone calls, and another hour of your day meeting people in person or going to networking events, to me, that's what I would spend my time on. If you can throw in a third to that, I would recommend that it's starting to build up your content strategy or inbound strategy.
So that position, that's along the lines of the web marketing mm-hmm. Stuff. And absolutely, the inbound strategy with content marketing, I'm clearly like very interested in that because I spend a lot of time blogging and things like that. You have on here as well, getting coffee with the right people. I think of it as kind of like sometimes it's a little hard. I seem gregarious or like kind of social, but I actually am a lot of times an introvert. Mm-hmm. And I have a hard time figuring out how to meet with people and not business. Like I'm not clearly trying to get business. You know what I mean? Right. I have a hard time just like, oh, I'm going to meet with you just because we might be useful to each other or what have you down the line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. And the way that I would look at it and the way that I approach it is I look for people that I'm going to be able to provide value to first and bring them something that they can take with them, whether it be a nugget of information at that very moment or something where I'm keeping an eye out for them, for their business at a later point in time. So I look for those types of relationships to say, you know, look, I may have a client that's good for you in the near future. Can we just meet and grab coffee? I'd love to learn more about your business. And it's really about talking with them. And I'll talk about another book later that it's called How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's an old classic book by Dale Carnegie. But really it's learning as much as you can about them and their business, and letting them talk. Ultimately they're going to be interested in who you are. And at that moment it's really simple. It's not a hard sales pitch. It's, this is who I am. This is what I do. And this is, I'm an expert at this. And by doing that, all you're doing is you're putting one more person that knows who you are out in the world, that is hopefully connecting with people that you want to be in front of.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the strategies is kind of find that group of people that can be a core group of influencers for you that may already be in front of your target group, mm-hmm. right? Not maybe your end customer, but the group that's doing business with your end customer, but still not your competitor. So that's what I would say is spend time doing that. Join networking groups, join affiliate associations, affinity associations, sorry. And just make sure that you're connecting with the right people.
Right on. Absolutely. Some down to earth tactics for connecting with people, and establishing rapport to be a better person developing business.
You can say salesman.
Okay. Salesman. All right.
I'm not
salesman and human.
Sure.
So yeah.
Yeah, similar to what I just mentioned before, you know, it's listen more, talk less. The more that people will talk about themselves, the better they're going to like you for some
reason.
Isn't
that weird?
Yeah.
And that's good.
I was on a call 2 weeks ago with a guy, and the call was probably 30 minutes long, and I maybe said 5 words. And at the end of the call, the guy said, oh, I feel so much better after talking with you.
Yes, that's awesome.
And I didn't say anything of value, and but it was a good opportunity for him to kind of vent and share his story, and he felt like he connected with me because I said a couple times.
Yeah. All right, so let's ramp this up.
All right, let's do it.
This is the build before the dubstep drop. So. Can you talk about any hardcore sales or rapport building tactics that you've been a part of that have produced real results? And I would love to chat about some things that I've been a part of as well.
Sure, absolutely. The number one that I'm going to say is more of a don't, but it's maybe, no, it's a do. It's for sure a do. it's just be responsive. Just If somebody emails you and says, hey, I'm interested in your services, email them back and try to do it quickly.
Quick.
Yeah. I was looking for a vendor partner to work with us on a project. I emailed maybe 6 different vendors and I had one person respond to me.
Okay.
And this is within the technology industry, these are not huge companies.
And you're potentially like giving them thousands of dollars of like, for the
good
referral.
Business, yeah, right?
Good business.
And they didn't respond. So that's number one. Just respond to people and do it quickly.
Would you say even if it's not going to benefit you directly by answering them?
Yes, without a doubt.
Why?
If you know that it's even, if it's, this is off the bat, this is not a good fit for me, you have to respond anyway.
Yeah.
Because you don't know who that person knows.
Yep.
And they may say, if you come through and you have a discussion, and you guys determine together that you're not a good fit for each other, well, guess what? They're going to appreciate your honesty. They're going to appreciate your open communication. your competitors probably aren't responding to them and they're not giving them that time of day, or they're trying to hard sell, you're still golden in their eyes.
Yeah.
The other one is you have to lead people through the sales process. You have to be the one saying, I can meet at these times only. I can meet at Tuesday at 1 or Thursday at 3. Give them specific times that you can meet. If it's after hours and you don't like working after work hours, don't meet them. Just draw a line in the sand, say, these are my hours. You're a professional, and they need to respect that.
That's so great, yeah.
Be a leader. You have to lead them through that process. You have to be the one facilitating it. As soon as you give them that edge, then you've lost all control. So it's your way of maintaining control of the relationship from the get-go.
I'll talk about something real quick and along your lines of, you have be novel and surprise them.
Yeah.
I think of this as a potential opportunity for even smaller agencies or people that are essentially trying to be a little disruptive in their market, which is simply that you can come up with a creative thing amongst your team to be able to say, here's us, or here's how we can help you, or even, we've given someone an iPad with a presentation that was uploaded on it, and essentially we're giving them the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
This is not to be manipulative to them or at all, but it's essentially just to say, this is one thing that we can do. Here's a presentation with our capabilities, and yes, it's a gift. We're being kind because we're excited at the prospect of working with you. And in the end, if they can't work with you, you have to be willing to let that go by the wayside. I say you have to try and try and try and be, come up with curious and interesting ways to present your case, especially if you're smaller, especially if you don't have that recognizable name as an agency or as a freelancer. You have to be ready to be a little more creative than your established competitor.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And the other way I look at this too is that if you have a client that specifically says, I need you to respond to this RFP in this very specific way, we've found success by saying, look, this RFP doesn't make any sense. This is how we're going to respond to it. Here's why we're going to do it this way. And we need you to if you want to do business with us, we need you to adhere to our process. And what you're doing is you're shifting the way that they're looking at evaluating organizations to work with or companies to work with. And if you can get them to make that mindset shift into the way that you do business, it's pretty well locked up. So one somebody that I respect in the industry once told me that if they ask you to create design mockups, don't do it. If they don't ask you, do it. So you're always keeping people on their toes of surprise them in a good way. Sometimes it's going to be telling somebody no, but when you tell them no, they're going to be intrigued by you and your business.
And you want to be that expert. You want to position it from, you're working with us because of the value that we're providing, because we are the expert. We have something that you wanted. And it should never be like, we're just your minions carrying out your bidding. And when it becomes that, you have to kind of reposition it. And starting the relationship with, this is our process. Mm-hmm. Would you like to be a part of it? Is one way of making sure it's framed as you are the expert.
Right. Yeah. You can't allow somebody else to change your core competencies.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that ends up happening quite a bit. And if you, when you go in like that, you have to have the mindset that you're not going to be attached to the outcome, right? So, I like the saying, some will, some won't, so what, right?
And mm-hmm. Oh, that's so good.
And if you go in and you think, okay, I'm not going to change anything about who I am or how my business operates just to win this client, and I'm not going to allow them to dictate how I do that.
Yeah, it looks unprofessional too.
Yeah, it does. It does. And it's something about even your own personal character, right? So I've had instances early in my career where there's the whole sales tactic of mirroring and matching, right? So you match somebody's energy. where this guy, I was sitting across the table from him. This is probably 8 years ago. And he's swearing up a storm, F-bomb this, and, you know, just going crazy. And mm-hmm. I started matching that.
Yeah.
And at the end of the meeting, I felt so just
gross
about myself, yeah. because not that I'm like, yeah, if I'm in the right company, I'll drop an F-bomb here and there. I'm not above that. Right?
Yeah.
But I don't do it in professional settings, and I don't do it in meetings. And some people do, but that's not who I am.
Yeah. Golden rule of business, be on time. Let's talk some just real nitty gritty, detail oriented things. Do you think that that's really that important these days, Jake?
You know, for me, and Tim knows this, that one of my biggest pet peeves is being late to meetings. And on both sides of the coin, I don't like to be late to meetings because I think it doesn't show well. If I show up to the very first impression, if I show up late, are they going to expect that my projects, that their project's going to be done on time?
Yeah.
Right. They could probably correlate those two.
Yeah.
Are we sloppy? Are we not? We don't have control of our calendars. We can't even lead ourselves. How are they going to expect us to lead them through that process?
Yeah. And that speaks to, another great book that I love. It's called Selling the Invisible. And essentially the idea is that all of our services before somebody uses them are completely invisible. So they can only judge the service by what they see. So if they see somebody who's, you know, on time or early, somebody who is branding. I mean, it's kind of about branding. Like, is your brand well? You know, it's physical appearance too. And I guess I have my ponytail and all that right now, but I try to keep myself neat and I try to wear a collar shirt when I go to a meeting. And things where it's a matter of the service is completely invisible. So they can only judge by things they see. And, you know, a lot of times I use this when speaking about design, because design is one of the first things that people see when they come to your website, when they view your physical product in a package. Is the package nice? Because if the package is nice, I'm associating that quality with the product. And essentially, a lot of the things in our lives, like being on time, like our physical appearance, like the way we speak, do we speak with confidence, like our eye contact, like the way we carry ourselves and our demeanor, are the only physical representation they have for how the product or how the service is going to, the quality that it's going to have.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so by, you know, carrying ourselves well and by being on time and by, you know, those other things I mentioned, we're able to essentially associate quality with the end product or service. And I think that those things are extremely important. Great book, by the way, Selling the Invisible. Lots of other insights in that book.
It's good to know.
If you were a part of a small web design business that needed ways to very efficiently get the most out of the time you could dedicate to sales, let's say you have 30% of the time and the other time you're spending on being the technician.
Yeah.
Let's say, yeah, so 30% of the time, what would you do with that 30%?
I would really probably focus on either trying to optimize your web presence and your online presence through content marketing and one-to-one connections. And the other part, lead generating and connecting with people and getting in front of, like I said before, it's getting in front of the right people that you can provide value to that ultimately can provide value back to you. It's kind of that giver's gain concept where the more that you give to other people, the more that you're going to get. So really it's focusing on lead generation, connecting with people, calling, sending emails, use Sidekick to see if they opened it. So you don't have to pounce on them if they didn't. And you gotta go after it. You gotta show up. You gotta go after it. You gotta make the phone calls. And if it's scary, because that's a scary deal to a lot.
Yeah,
of people,
especially right? Especially if you're not a pro,
right?
But you're still trying to make use of that.
Oh yeah, I'm terrible at it, but
yeah.
I'm admittedly bad at it. But I've learned to to kind of squander the fear and just say, I have to do this and I'm going to be providing value to this person.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in a cool industry, right?
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. This is a cool industry. People hear about it. They want to know about it. And if we can even say, hey, let's just talk about, you know, really what the basics are right now for web design or, some things that you could do for your SEO, let's just grab coffee for 30 minutes and talk about it. Mm-hmm.
People are interested.
Yeah, people are going to be interested in that.
Even if they don't buy what you're selling, they're still interested in your expertise and making sure that like what they can do right now. I mean, that's really what essentially what you're saying is being useful.
Right.
Like, you know, you have to just because you teach somebody how to do something doesn't mean they have the time to do it. So if you tell them some insights about SEO, some tidbits, some, you know, tactics, they still might, you know, work with you in that capacity because they're essentially seeing you as the expert now. And there's, you know, by, you know, being that person that's educating them, you also have the opportunity to potentially do the work for them if they don't have the time, which is what a lot of these smaller businesses to mid-sized businesses are up against. They're trying to figure out, you know, even large businesses, like they're wanting to know enough so that they can work with somebody on that. So they might, you know, learn what you have to say about SEO, learn what you have to say about effective web design, learn what you have to say about what have you, and still after they have a, you know, a decent grasp on it, you can explain a lot in a half an hour, at least mm-hmm. overall concepts. They still need somebody to do that work.
Yeah. And, you know, if you come from the point of contribution and providing value, you're going to see positive results from that. But again, it's not something that you can show up, you know, once a month and do it because the pipeline's running out, right? It's mm-hmm. something that needs to happen on a regular basis. And I think all salespeople are guilty of letting that dry up and going through the roller coaster ride. But it's something that if you can just dedicate a little bit of time every day to making sure that you're making the right connections, then you got to get your calendar filled up.
So let's say you had that, you know, hour at the beginning of the day mm-hmm. to have a couple habits for lead generation. What might you dedicate that time to? This is something I have to be interested in for freelance work.
I would, for me, I'm going to just even take it one step back and probably get a little bit more cerebral than we want to be. Okay. But, I think for me, one of the things that I have to have some kind of an energy plan in place mm-hmm. for me when I get up in the morning, right?
Yeah.
Where it's, I get up early. I make myself, my wife, and my kid breakfast every morning.
Yeah.
So I get to connect with them. I drink an ice cold glass of water, which yeah. sounds weird, but you got to hydrate your body.
Yeah.
You got to get some emotional energy. You hug your kids, hug your spouse, hug your partner, whatever, hug your dog if you want to. And then you got to exercise. You got to get your blood flowing and your heart pumping and sweat a little bit. And by doing that, I think by the time you get into the office at, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock, you've already had a good portion of your day dedicated to things that are going to give you energy and that are going to give you focus throughout the day. So once those things are complete, then I would say if you can start at a basic level and set some small goals for yourself where you're connecting with five people on LinkedIn that you have a secondary degree connection with that could potentially lead you to some business. Set those small milestones for yourself and don't be afraid to if you're achieving those, ramp it up and start making that a bigger goal. Some people have a goal of making contacts. I know people that in the past that I've worked with that they had to have 20 conversations before noon, not just phone calls outbound. They had to have 20 conversations.
Pretty intense.
It is pretty intense. So set a goal for yourself. Try to stretch yourself if you can. That is the scary part. Send some emails. Your emails don't have to be anything extravagant. Don't try to sell anything in your email. That's also a pet peeve of mine. I get sold stuff all day long and it drives me absolutely nuts. What I respond to the best is, hey, can we spend either 15 minutes on the phone or grab coffee? I just want to know more about you, what you do, and I would like to see if we can be a potential fit for each other. So be very pragmatic about it. Just be realistic, and don't be salesy.
Yeah.
I guess is what I'm trying to get across.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's about relationships.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some books that we've read on the topic of, you know, sales and lead generation. And we'll share the links to them in the show notes. The first one that we've already talked a little bit about, we'll talk about how to pitch anything.
Yeah. So like Tim mentioned, this is a book that I read probably, I don't know, 8 months ago. And it was recommended to me by somebody in the industry that I really respect. And I recommended it to Tim just because Tim has this hustle mindset and is constantly trying to learn more about how to become not only better designer and front-end developer, but how to become just an overall better business person. And I think ultimately sales too is something that Tim's been passionate
super
about.
Interesting to me. Yeah. It's just fun. It's actually fun sometimes.
So this book is I would call it a no-nonsense approach to giving presentations. The background is that he works for a venture. I think he pitches to venture capitalist companies.
Yeah,
is what it is.
And it actually has kind of like a almost film style plot line where he ends up, you know, towards the end, he goes out into the desert and like is like, I'm not going to do sales anymore. And then he comes back and like this final pitch that's like, it's actually really well written in kind of a story format, which I like.
Yeah. And really the gist of it is the people sitting across the table from you are not going to be as educated on what you're presenting to them. So you have to keep things really simple. Don't make things too complex. If it starts becoming complex, they're going to start to think about it more and try to solve a problem in their own mind. And once they do that, they're ultimately going to get scared off. So it's keeping things super simple. At a high level, you have to be the expert. You have to be the leader. And again, it's that prize frame that Tim mentioned where you position yourself as the prize and they are there. Throughout the meeting you're not only trying to win their business, but they're trying to win your business too.
And you talk a lot about, I overhear your phone conversations when you're talking to clients and you say, you know, why would we want to work with you?
Yeah.
Essentially almost asking the question in a frame of mind of, are you good enough to work with us? That might sound a little like intimidating if you're new or you're just starting out. But the idea is that, you only have a limited amount of time and you want to work with clients that are enjoyable to work with, that you can help make successful. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be the only thing about them that's making them successful. They should likely already have some success. And so in that way, you're kind of saying, why would we want to work with you? And they're having to think, you know, just putting in that frame of mind is going to help them almost aspire to work with you.
Yeah, and it's interesting when you come at it from that perspective, and you do have to be a little bit careful about it so you're not coming across as arrogant or anything like that, but when you kind of frame yourself as the expert and the prize that they should be trying to win your business, people start selling to you, and then you begin to really form a good relationship. And when I ask that question or sometimes I'll just make the statement and I'll say, we're a little bit picky about who we work with. And then I'll follow it up with, but I can tell that I think you and I are going to be able to grab beers together and not have a problem. Right.
That so push pull.
Yeah.
Push
yeah.
Pull. So yeah, you're kind of asking them to pitch themselves a little bit to you, but then you're also like making sure to, you know, affirm the fact that you would like to work with them.
Right.
You're not
right.
Like, oh yeah, we don't know if we want to work with you. Like you're not doing that too much. You're essentially at the end saying, we do want to work with you.
Yeah. And this isn't being manipulative. It's really, it really is. If you're true to your foundations and who you want to be as a business, it's setting up those guidelines on the front end and saying, look, we're not going to work with these types of businesses because they don't match our corporate culture, or they don't match who I am as a person, and my values. So it's setting that standard up and making sure that you have those clear lines drawn in the sand.
To me, it's a little bit of a game. I don't think of that as a bad thing. I don't mind if I'm playing a little bit of a game. We're all, in a way, I mean, if you get down to it, at a clear base level, we are all trying to manipulate some situation. I'm sorry, I can't help but think of it that way. I think of it as...
Just drop that bomb.
Yeah. No, well...
I'm kidding.
The main thing, though, in this situation, in this game, I would say we want to find clients that we can... Wow. And find clients that we can do work for them effectively by asking them in a little bit of a way to pitch themselves. You're trying to figure out, are we going to be able to do effective work for this client? And by them, it's actually like almost asking a question of them, of their organization and those expectations and other factors in place. Because, you know, if I was just pitching myself the whole time and I wasn't asking these kinds of questions of them, why they think we'd be a good fit, then I might not have all the details I need to make an informed decision. And in the end, I do have to say no to some clients.
Right.
In the end, I have to say, you know, if they didn't answer that question appropriately, and like legitimately, I have to turn them down.
Right.
Because in this game, like, mind you, I have to make sure that I can do the best work possible. And the best work possible is with the right kind of clients. And if they're not the right kind of client for me, I can't work with them. So, you know, it's a little bit of a game, but I really do think that it's important to get these answers.
The other cool thing about that tactic, positioning yourself as the prize, is that you can pretty well bet on that your competition, if without a doubt, they're talking to somebody else. And you can pretty well bet on that your competition is just trying to sell.
Yeah.
And instead of taking...
Unless your competition listened to this podcast.
Exactly. Yep.
and or read that book. I'm just going to quickly talk about Book Yourself Solid, which is a book I'm listening to it on audiobook. I think this is the second time I've listened to it. And a huge part of what Michael Port is the author. I'll share this link also in the show notes. Michael Port talks a lot about really knowing before a lot of it, you want to get into that lead generation stuff right away. But Michael Port talks a lot about really knowing yourself and your strengths and the kind of clients that you love before he talks about that lead generation stuff, which is kind of the fancy fun stuff. But that knowing yourself, this is the kind of client that I love. This is the kind of client where I really am most effective. This is the client where I can really shine. And if you know that stuff, if you can really pinpoint who you can, you know, and if it's a team, if it's a broader team, this is who our team kills it at, then you can focus on those people and try to kind of cut out some of the clients where you're not doing as effective of work. And he essentially has you make lists of ideal client and not ideal clients and bad clients, essentially. And you make a list of your current clients and you really pinpoint those details where you can start honing in a little bit better on your best clients. Because we're energized. When we're energized and we're passionate and we're doing our best work, selling is a little less of a chore. And so I think that's one of the biggest takeaways from Book Yourself Solid. Love the rest of the points in that book. I have one last question for you. What does the future of sales and business development and digital marketing look like?
I think it's going to be about specializing and making sure that you're an expert in your field. I said it earlier, but it's I think people going up against each other and competing on price and scope and deliverables and process and even personality or team, I think, are just I just don't think they're going to cut it. Mm-hmm. Those things are going to cut it anymore. I think you have to
You say process being a huge part of it?
I think going in, and because I think a lot of agencies have a very similar process that they go through. So yeah. I think it's being an expert. Maybe you're an expert at your in a specific area, mm-hmm. and a process for accomplishing objectives through that area. And I mm-hmm. think that's still going to be unique. But yeah. I think what clients are going to want to see is, are you an expert in this task that I want completed?
Yeah.
And if you're not, then you can still position yourself as one, but yeah. you need to fill in those gaps and create that process so that you are, and that you trust that you are the expert in that field. And it's, sales has traditionally been a relationship driven business, and mm-hmm. it's how many people can you get nose to nose, belly to belly, and get in a dialogue with.
I can't agree enough. And, where can they find us, Jake? What's the best way to get at you?
Good question. You can reach me on Twitter at Jake Butzer, B-U-T-Z-E-R.
All right, and you can reach me at Twitter at Tim B Design MPLS. And you can also check out my website at timbdesign.com. Please rate the podcast on iTunes. It means a lot to me, and it matters for these podcasts being seen and other people being able to get value out of it. Thank you so much for listening. Jake, thanks for being here with me today.
You got it.
And please rate the podcast on iTunes. It means a lot to me. And check out the show notes if you were interested in anything we were chatting about that was a resource or a book, and I will have links up there at timbdesign.com/podcast-4. Keep on listening.
Right. Bye-bye. Join us next time for It's a Cold World, bringing you radical guests speaking to relevant topics in digital marketing. From visual design to front-end development, from growth hacking social media and SEO, to work process tips and working with clients. Stay tuned, and we'll keep talking about topics you care about. Thank you for listening. Until next time.